Wherever it happens, local, regional, and global, only on Q95, the big station, Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
Good morning. This is the morning news for today, Thursday, April 18th, 2024. I am Richie Farrell.
We're news.
In the headlines, Dominica National Conservation Trust Fund Chairman Albert Paul underscores the vital role of preserving the environment for future generations and the costs associated with these efforts. ICC Men's T20 World Cup Chairman Ambassador Noel Lynch revealed that Oyston's Bay Garden is set for major upgrades of its facilities to the tune of $4.5 million, and that should be completed by the end of May.
It happens wherever.
And nearly 1 billion people are eligible to vote in India's general elections this year, where polling will run across the country in 7 phases over 6 weeks, ending on 1st June, but the results will be announced on 4th June 2024.
Top of the hour news as it happens.
These are our headlines. First up in the news, Chairman of the Dominica National Conservation Trust Fund, Albert Paul, stressed the importance of development in enhancing societies while acknowledging its associated costs. He highlighted the efforts of individuals and organizations worldwide, including those in Dominica, dedicated to ensuring a future where nature remains prominent. Paul particularly emphasized the role of the Dominica National Conservation Fund in this mission.
I believe is a necessary evil, but often the cost of development is far-reaching because as we develop, we lose sight of many of our natural gifts that we have been blessed with and have been given. It is hard to imagine a world without trees or clear, fresh water or deep blue seas filled with varieties of aquatic creatures, plants, sites. But as we continue to degrade and destroy our environment, this, I propose, will become a very real and very scary possibility. There are persons and organizations around the world and the region, and now here in Dominica, which have been set up and which have tasked themselves with the goal and purpose of ensuring that there's a future with nature very present and featured prominent. One such organization, which I have the pleasure of chairing, is the Dominica National Conservation Trust. The Dominica National Conservation Trust Fund was set up through the initiative, was conceptualized through our partners, the Caribbean Biodiversity Fund. It's a fairly new organization, just about a year old. But of course, I know many of the NCTFs here would understand that you do have a lot of teething issues. There are things, there are hiccups along the way, but the goal and the purpose of these organizations remains resolute. We need to protect our environment. We need to ensure that we leave something for the future generations. Interestingly, I'm going to, and I promise not to be very long. I remember growing up and there were mangoes and limes and fruits in abundance. Actually, I had several grapefruit trees right outside my door. And we took a lot of these things for granted. We went to the river, we went to the seas, and there were vibrant colors and there was beauty all around us, but we also took those things for granted.
Paul expressed gratitude for organizations like the Caribbean Biodiversity Fund, which have been instrumental in conceptualizing and implementing initiatives across the region. He highlighted their significant contributions to the Caribbean and emphasized the potential for further engagements of this nature to foster an even stronger and more vibrant Caribbean region.
I don't want to live in a world where our future generations only read about these things. I want to live in a world where we set a platform for future generations to come so that when we leave, and being almost 100 years old, I think I'm probably going to leave soon. But I want to ensure that what we do here is going to resonate not just today, but tomorrow and for many years to come. And I'm happy that organizations like the Caribbean Biodiversity Fund has conceptualized the forming of NCTFs around the region and continues to do wonderful work around the region, not just here in Dominica. Well, we're only just getting started, and I believe that the future is bright if we have these sorts of engagements and these sorts of initiatives, not just here in Dominica. And I'm happy that you decided to have this function in Dominica, because of course Dominica is setting itself up to be the first climate resilient, or the first resilient country in the world. And these often are just words, but they require lots and lots of action. And organizations like the DNCTF, the Caribbean Diversity Fund, and all our partners, including yourselves, because we need to build capacity wherever we go, because we don't know it all. And the more information we get from other persons, the better it's going to be.
Chairman of the DNCTF, Albert Paul. The Orion Academy emerged victorious over the St. Mary Academy in the finals of the inter-secondary schools debating competition on Wednesday. Diamond Daniel and Ijadi Maxwell, represented the Orion Academy, while Noah Sorrendo and Jelani Shillingford represented the St. Mary's Academy.
The coveted Best Speaker Award today went to Noah Sorrendo of the St. Mary's Academy. He receives a cash prize sponsored by Dr. Ilive Peltier. Congratulations, Noah. And you all would notice both the best rebuttal and the best speaker are memorable orators as well of this year's debate season. So congratulations. The runners-up, the St. Mary's Academy, Noah Sorrendo and Jelani Shillingford, being the runners-up, close runners-up in the finals of the inter-secondary schools debating competition, the St. Mary's Academy. Another round of applause for them, please. Off the finals today, the Orion Academy, Ms. Diamond Daniel and Mr. Ijadi Jazz Maxwell. They are being awarded the grand prize, which is a trip for four to St. Lucia, all expenses paid, with a stay at Coco Palm Resort, a prize valued at $5,000. The contributors to that prize, the Insurance Company of the West Indies, National Cooperative Credit Union, 1 second, Josephine Gabriel and Company Limited. I'd like to call on the representative from the NCCU to assist with the handover of the prize, the trophies to the winners. Congratulations to the Orion Academy, Diamond Daniel and Ijadi Maxwell.
And that was organizer of the Inter-Secondary Schools Debating Competition, Trudy Christian. Discover Dominica Authority, DDA, and the Outsource Development Center conducted a conflict resolution training for tourism here breeders and vendors at the National Development Foundation of Dominica Conference Room on Tuesday, March 26, 2024. The session provided participants with essential conflict resolution skills tailored to their roles. Ms. Odile John-Baptiste, Product Promotions Manager at DDA, commended the active engagement and experience sharing among participants. She said they now possess the theoretical knowledge and practical skills to enhance visitor service quality.
We successfully conducted a conflict resolution training session for tourism here breeders and vendors on Tuesday, March 26, 2024 at the National Development Foundation of Dominica Conference Room. This was in collaboration with the Outsource Development Center. The session was designed to meet the specific needs of tourism here breeders and vendors, equipping them with essential conflict resolution skills tailored to their roles. The topics covered included understanding the root causes of conflicts, communication skills, listening techniques, conflict styles, emotional intelligence, and recognizing and managing emotions to resolve conflicts. Dr. Precious Anthony, an expert in the field, facilitated the session, and after the session concluded, every participant received a certificate of participation. I am very satisfied with the participants' active engagement and sharing of experiences during the training sessions. I am confident that participants have acquired knowledge and practical skills that can be applied professionally to improve the quality of service delivered to visitors. Discover Dominica Authority remains committed to providing training programs for tourism stakeholders.
And that was Miss Odile John-Baptiste, Product Promotions Manager at the Discover Dominica Authority. You're tuned in with Q95 News. Permanent Secretary in the Ministry of Health, Dr. Lisa Esprey, advocates that the roles for laboratory and diagnostic technicians are crucial to the effective operation of the health sector. Developing a more people-centered approach to health services is now paramount, referencing the unity expressed among all members of the health sector during the period of the COVID-19 pandemic. This week, the staff of the Dominica National Medical Laboratory is celebrating Laboratory Professionals Week, which ends on April 20th, 2024.
Oftentimes, persons would think of, can we say, just nurses and doctors as medical professionals, forgetting that there is a wide cadre of staff who, in one way or another, they support the diagnosis and management of patients. And this cadre includes all laboratory professionals. Now imagine if our doctors provided the various diagnoses based on the presenting signs and symptoms alone, and the nurses implemented the management care plans in the absence of laboratory and diagnostic investigations. Can we envision the negative impact on the health and well-being of patients? Either way, the patient is the one who suffers. And we do know the far-reaching consequences, especially in emergencies and life-threatening conditions, and of course, as well as delayed diagnosis. So essentially, the value of the laboratory, the value of its technician, the value of other staff, as well as the numerous services that are offered, are super essential and critical to the overall healthcare administration and, of course, the outcome of each patient. The role and contribution of the laboratory was ever so essential in the fight against COVID in Dominica. And we can even decipher it this way. It meant timely and accurate detection as well as diagnosis for timely treatment of patients, and that had a direct bearing on screening modalities, on quarantine, social isolation, transportation of patients, management of patients, and even discharge of patients.
Permanent Secretary in the Ministry of Health, Dr. Lisa Esprey. Education Minister Octavia Alfred is now seeking to reassure Dominican students and the public that the government will continue to provide educational opportunities to improve literacy and skills capacity of the population. Minister Alfred disclosed that recently Dominica was ranked 8th out of the top 10 Caribbean countries as one of the most educated countries of the region, with a 94% score by the World Population Review of 2022.
Government makes every effort to ensure that our students have what is necessary, that teaching and learning is effective, and that every child succeeds. This includes conducive learning spaces, smart rooms, libraries, writing stations, and reading materials. We also make sure that our teachers receive training. The World Population Review of 2022 placed Dominica at number 8 out of the 10 most educated countries in the region, with a literacy rate of 94%. We continue to see improvements in both local and regional assessment.
Education Minister Octavia Alfred. In other news, in the context of the 22nd Vaccination Week in the Americas, which will be celebrated from April 20th to the 27th, 2024, the Pan American Health Organization, PAHO, is sharing more than 15 innovative experiences that countries in the region implemented to promote vaccination in their communities. The slogan of the week this year is, "Engage now to protect your future." The experiences, available on PAHO's website, showcase innovations, creativity, and investments from national immunization programs, including in vaccine mobilization, cold chain epidemiological surveillance, and awareness campaigns, among others. Open quote, we created a digital space to recognize the innovative work and tireless efforts that countries have made to recover vaccination coverage in recent years and ensure a healthy future for all, end quote, Dr. Daniel Salas, executive manager of the Special Program for Comprehensive Immunization at PAHO, said. Open quote. It also highlights the importance of sharing lessons learned from countries in their work to protect communities from vaccine-preventable diseases, end quote. Some of these experiences highlighted on the website include 1. Mobile vaccination unit in Uruguay that travels to various points in Montevideo to facilitate access to vaccination. 2. Cross-border vaccination between Mexico and Guatemala to provide vaccination in areas of high traffic and movement. 3. Focusing on the emotional approach to vaccination to combat hesitancy in Argentina, where people are encouraged to express their feelings using plush dolls. And 4. Awareness campaigns on the importance of vaccination in the Bahamas, with messages from children and influential pediatricians in that community. This is Q95 News. Economist and United Workers Party leader Dr. Thompson Fontaine considers the decisions of banks like the former Royal Bank of Canada and First Caribbean International Bank to leave Dominica and sell their acquisitions to the National Bank of Dominica as a cause for concern. Speaking to Q95 FM radio recently, Dr. Fontaine explained that the purpose for these banks leaving was mainly due, or could be mainly due, to a few things. 1. A lack of profit due to fewer deposits made to the bank, and 2. A reduced awarding of loans to clients.
Is it because of the non-performance of the Dominican by its ability to be able to take deposits from the public and then unlend to the public in the form of loans? That is the major way in which they make the money. Of course, there are other ways. They can do other investments. They can invest in other monetary instruments and so on. They can invest in treasury bonds from the government. There are different ways to make money. But the most important way the banks get their resources is by taking deposits from the public and then unlending to the public. Now, when you have a collapsed economy after all of those years where people are not making a lot of money, the savings ratio is extremely low. It means that the bank does not have as much to lend. And that's why a lot of the banks were having issues. They simply were not able to meet that. Even when they lend to the public a higher ratio of non-performing loans, which basically meant that people were either not paying the loan, or they were not paying on time, or not paying the loan at all. Okay, so that would put some problems on the bank. And that's one of the reasons why you'll find that some of the banks. But also the issue of the compliance issue. That is really a big deal, where the Caribbean has been voted, has been flagged as a center for money laundering. Okay, so a lot of dirty money was being alleged to be passing through the banks in the Caribbean. And for these foreign banks, they stood to lose so much if they made a mistake. If, for example, some money were to pass through them and they were not able to capture it, then there were stiff fines that the regulators in the U.S. would impose on them, okay? So they're simply saying that for the amount of money that they're making out of an economy like Dominica, be taking that risk. So there is a substantial reason why we saw those banks with them. One was the economy, and secondly was over the compliance issue.
Economist and United Workers Party leader Dr. Thompson Fontaine. Oyston's Bay Garden is set for major upgrades to the tune of $4.5 million. Chairman of the Organizing Committee for the ICC Men's T20 World Cup, Ambassador Noel Lynch, made this disclosure yesterday during a press conference at the Christ Church Food and Entertainment Hub. The work, which includes the construction of new bathroom facilities, the refurbishment of kiosks, a new gazebo, and improvements to the stage area, should be completed by the end of May 2024. Oyston's will be one of three official fan zones where cricket fans can mix and mingle as they watch a game of cricket. Nearly 1 billion people are eligible to vote in the Indian general elections this year. Polling will run across the country in 7 phases over 6 weeks, ending on 1st June, and results will be announced on 4th June 2024. This election is significant for India and also for the world. BBC's Yogita LeMay explains why the country's current global standing and its huge population make the Indian election one to watch closely for the world.
That's my voter ID, and I can't wait to cast my vote for the Indian election in my home city, Mumbai. Now, there are lots of reasons why this election is important, not just for people here in India, but people all over the world. Follow me as I look at what I think are three key reasons. India is the world's most populous country. It's also the world's fastest growing major economy. And while there is widespread economic disparity for companies and countries overseas, there is a huge consumer base here. And whoever wins the election, they hold the keys to India's market. Given India's geographical location, as well as the size of the country in the economy, it's now being seen as a strategic ally by countries on all sides. Last year, India hosted the G20 summit, and there were lots of pictures that came out of it of Prime Minister Narendra Modi greeting, chatting with, laughing with, shaking hands with important global leaders. What India tried to do with that summit is to position itself as the voice of the developing world. Rural India is where most of the country's people live, and all over the country, even in the most remote part, there's a real commitment to the electoral process. So come voting day, you'll have people queuing up, waiting to cast their vote. And it's this democracy which has been a cornerstone of India's relationship with the Western world. In recent years, we've seen increasing limitations on freedom of the press. We've seen investigating agencies acting against opposition leaders, jailing opposition leaders in some cases. The government says they're acting independently, not at the government's behest, but all of it has led to accusations that India's democracy is being undermined, and that is a cause of concern for democracy all over the world.
That's the morning news. Here's a recap of our headlines. Dominica National Conservation Trust Fund Chairman Albert Paul underscores the vital role of preserving the environment for future generations and the costs associated with these efforts. ICC Men's T20 World Cup Chairman Ambassador Noel Lynch revealed that Oyston's Bay Garden is set for major upgrades of its facilities to the tune of $4.5 million. Which should be completed by the end of May 2024. And nearly 1 billion people are eligible to vote in India's general elections this year, where polling will run across the country in 7 phases over 6 weeks, ending on 1st June, but the results will be announced on 4th June 2024.
Right on cue.
And that's the news. Stay tuned.
Wherever it happens, local, regional, and global, only on Q95, the big station, Q95DA.com. Right on cue.